Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
So this is Frank Fabrera from Phase 2 Technology. I'm the CTO, and I'm presenting on building Drupal platforms. Basically, the idea behind that is trying to come up with what the pillars, I guess, would be when you're building Drupal as a platform. So a lot of days, like all of us have been building websites. And the talk is really about building more than websites, building these complete, repeatable, efficient solutions. You know, talk about things like efficiency, standardization, scalability, extensibility. I mean, I go into some examples of things that we have done or are planning to do for some of our clients that elaborate on what those things are and like what's an example of an efficient platform or what's an example of a scalable platform. So just trying to encompass all of the ideas from the projects that we've been having over the past, you know, couple of years, because as time goes on, the size of the projects that we're getting is just increasing like you wouldn't believe. I mean, what was, hey, we want to do 5 sites last year is, hey, we want to do 5,000 this year. So it's really trying to come to grips with what it means to build at that scale.
And so what do you see as the difference between like a platform and a distribution? Are they the same thing, or what are the differences between the two?
Right. So I think a distribution is part of a platform, but a platform encompasses a whole lot more. There's a lot of automation that you're building for a different audience. Like a platform, well, a platform can serve, you know, like your site administrator, and it could serve your end user, but like distribution doesn't necessarily serve like your sysadmin, right? Or it doesn't serve, you know, just other groups like integrations with other parties, other systems or APIs that you might have. So it's really about forming that complete solution, like front to end, whether it's automation or things like that. So
if you're rolling out a multi-site of like you said, 1 to 5,000 sites, is that, you know, this platform, is that using all the same code base? Or maybe talk about, you know, it sounds like there's an element of scale here where there's like not just one website, but you have a platform to be able to launch like a whole load of sites.
Yeah, so it could be one code base, it could be many code bases, it could be like many distributions working together to actually solve what that organization's problems are. So it's everything from automated provisioning of hardware to automated site provisioning, like handling database and virtual host creation, to rolling out code bases, to rolling out upgrades to code bases, to managing. So if you have 1,000 sites running on a single code base and you need to run some update process, you don't necessarily want to do them all at once. So, you know, the ideas for how to kind of batch those out or how to spread them out, upgrade one at a time and move them. So you need to be able to have a code base and a platform that has versions and have these different sites potentially on different versions at the same time as you migrate through. So it's really about building these solutions, like figuring out what are the ideas and the problems that you hit when you scale that big, and just trying to talk about what some solutions are for it.
And now that Phase 2 technology has kind of taken over most, if not all, of Development Seed's projects, is Eiger a part of this platform solution to be able to actually sort of run a lot of the back end?
Well, Eiger can be part of the solution. So you could use things like Jenkins, which used to be called Hudson. It's a continuous integration or like, you know, kind of like a process automation tool. You could use something like Eiger, which fulfills one part of the process. It can provision sites out to servers or many servers. It can't necessarily provision hardware, like using, for example, like libcloud to spin up new instances in Amazon or something like that. So Eiger can definitely be part of the solution. If you think about what a platform could be, I think, like, if you think maybe Drupal Gardens, that's a kind of a good idea of what a platform is. Like, they have this system that manages the spin up of hardware. It scales to something like 40,000 sites right now. It's a standardized platform for what you get. You get a smaller box. It's not just like, hey, all these different modules, let me pick whatever I want. So they standardized on a few things, which allows them to have really highly repeatable processes. So it's kind of elaborating on those ideas.
And so now that you have like 4 different distributions, Open Public and Managing News, Open Atrium and Open Publish. Are you planning on sort of building this platform infrastructure to be able to do like hosted service solutions for each of these then?
Well, I don't think we're probably not going to be getting into the hosting business, because then that, if you think about it, that's actually developing a fifth product. So we have Open Publish, Open Public, Open Atrium, and Managing News. And I think what we're trying to do with all of those distributions now is we have, you know, some best practices and some things that we figured out from doing these distributions over time. And actually, when you look at all of them, they all use kind of the same stack, the whole features context stack, so like kind of the meta stack in between Drupal and what these distributions are. So we've been using them in very similar ways, you know, over the past few years. So I think we've come to a point now where we can actually support all of these a lot easier, because all of our distributions are kind of built the same way with a lot of the same methodology. And we've developed some internal tools, which hopefully we'll be releasing in the next few months, that help us manage like what a core distribution is and then what are the specific like features that are built upon it that make it an Open Atrium or that make it an Open Public. So I think we've got a lot of efficiencies there, which made the acquisition of Open Atrium and Managing News like a smart idea for us.
And I've heard that some development shops or some opinions that people, when they use features, they're kind of using it wrong, in the sense that they're just using it to export their code and sort of use it as a deployment tool rather than writing features in a way that's reusable for many different websites. So maybe talk about your perspective on the future of features and sort of the original intentions for it and how you're going to sort of use those features in the context of like interoperability and on the platform.
Yeah, so I think there's something out there that the guys at Development Seed originally crafted. It's called the kit specification, and it's just like guidelines, like what's a good way to make sure that your feature doesn't collide with other things that people might be writing. So it's a good way to develop interoperable features. And we've actually demonstrated that concept using the ideation feature that Development Seed originally wrote for the Department of Education. And we've contributed to Drupal.org, and then we've upgraded it to Drupal 7, and ideation is now a feature that's compatible with Open Public as well. And there's two different use cases. Well, the ideation use case is the same, but there's actually two different ways that it integrates with the site. You integrate differently with a site when it's an Open Atrium site, which is, you know, a collaboration portal, versus Open Public, which is meant to be potentially like an agency government website. So ideation is kit compliant, and we have it deploying in two different versions of Drupal to two different distributions of Drupal. And that's kind of like what I consider like our first, like, you know, this is what it could be, this is what it should be, and we're going to try to develop a lot more features that you'll see over the next few months that are kit compliant, are, you know, cross-distribution compliant, and I think it's a really interesting space.
Now, are all the features and all the distributions going to be kit compliant, so you could actually create sort of a humongous distribution that has all four of them combined?
Our goal is definitely to have all the features in each of our distributions to be kit compliant. I don't know if they would all actually work well together when you put them all together, because some rely on organic groups, others don't rely on things like that. But it's a really interesting concept, and it's very possible that you could have something that is both a publishing site and a collaboration portal just by deploying the features to a Drupal instance. So it's a very interesting thing to think about.
And so because you're not getting into the hosting business, but you're still looking at platforms, it sort of implies that you are dealing with clients who do want to deploy hundreds or thousands of sites. So what can you talk about in terms of like the future of what to expect for how this talk that you're talking about at DrupalCon is going to sort of come to life for the next year or two?
As the ambitions for these projects and platforms get bigger, so when you're talking about the 5,000 site platform, a lot of times the organization will have the capabilities to host that internally. So while we don't do hosting as a business, we definitely do sysadmin, like operational development build outs, and we're pretty good at that. So I think that there's going to be, you know, the integration of either working with an organization's internal IT team or taking it to a hosting provider like Rackspace or to a hosting provider like Acquia. So Acquia and Phase 2 are working on a couple of different client solutions, bigger platforms that are going to take advantage of their hosting platform and advantage of our development skills.
And so what sort of specific technologies are you working on then in terms of making it possible to have a platform? It sounds like there's the Drupal stack, but then there's all those other tools that someone like Acquia has already built for managing their Amazon EC2 sort of instances that are getting spun up. So what sort of is on your horizon for what you're developing for what you need?
So in the past, we've developed, you know, we have like sets of custom shell scripts or things like that. But as time progresses, as tools mature, we've been moving more towards Jenkins, which is the rename of Hudson, Continuous Integration Process Automation Tools. So doing things in there help you automate the workflows, like deployment workflows and, you know, review workflows and things like that. So you kind of, it gives you a general purpose framework to customize your client's workflow into repeatable steps.
Okay, and is that something that you plan on eventually releasing, or is that something that's going to be sort of like your secret sauce that people come to you to get this types of tools?
Well, I think if there are generally applicable pieces of the platform, we'd be more than happy to release them. But some organizations have pretty specific goals that either they might not want you to release or don't really make sense to release. But, you know, I think we've shown, you know, Phase 2 as an organization has shown that when we have things that we think are contributable, we put them out there open, you know, with Open Publish and Tatler in the back in the day and Open Public now. So we firmly believe in giving back.
And finally, maybe you could just comment briefly on the sort of acquisition of all the development seed distributions and code and sort of all those modules that used to be under development seed employees are now under either you or other people within Phase 2. So maybe just talk about like what that means moving forward.
Yeah, so Development Seed did a wonderful job coming up with all these modules. They're great ideas. They solve really diverse problem sets, which is why we wound up using them in everything that we did as well. So we've been working with Development Seed for a few years now. We did a lot of joint development for a bunch of different clients that we've had in the DC area. And over time, you know, our working relationship got close, and when they kind of realized that the way to take things like Open Atrium to the next level wasn't really aligned with how they, you know, like to approach their business, it made sense for us to take that on. So in taking on the distributions, we also figured that we should take on the modules that all these distributions are built on. So we definitely increased our workload as an organization, but we feel that, you know, with our scale, you know, 40 plus people now, we actually have the manpower to get through issue queues, solve issues. So what we're doing, I just actually posted a blog post today about what our philosophy is for handling these issue queues. And it's going to take a little while for us to really get in and get like immersed in what the issues are and get momentum that we could actually start knocking out lots of patches, lots of, you know, and rolling out consistent releases. So what we want to do is we want to kind of help the people who've helped us. So if there are patches in the issue queue, we're gonna take a good look at those, you know, review them, make sure there's tests for them, commit them, get releases rolled out. Moving past that, any issue that has had a lot of legwork done on it, like maybe people couldn't have actually made a patch, but they've identified what the issue is, we could kind of get in there and collaborate with them, come up with the right solutions, roll those out, address things that are critical issues. We're obviously going to be addressing issues in those modules that affect the distributions that we're building. And, you know, as a member of the security team, obviously, first priority is any security issues. So we've already started engaging with people in the queues, and, you know, we've gotten to context and features a little bit on feeds and Perl and a couple of other modules. And over, you know, over the next month or two, we're going to be rolling more of our team members onto these queues so that we could actually start getting some eyeballs on there and get some movement.
And then Drupal 7 upgrades as well? What's sort of on the horizon for that?
So Open Public is a Drupal 7 distribution. So that leaves Managing News, Open Publish, and Open Atrium that need Drupal 7 upgrades. So while we don't have any firm timetables for them, obviously we're doing most of our new work in Drupal 7. We think it's, you know, a great platform. But a lot of these distributions are a little bit more complex than a module upgrade because they depend on so many modules. So we're going to give it a little bit of time, let the modules we depend on get their upgrades, get things vetted out, and then we'll start moving, you know, the modules we have left that aren't D7 compliant, we'll start upgrading those probably as we start doing the platform. So I think you'll see probably Open Publish and Open Atrium at a minimum releases sometime in 2011. But you know, the D6 versions of those are stable and they're still great to build upon. And you know, if anybody's, you know, out there thinking, do I wait for a D7 upgrade or something like that? I mean, if you plan on building in the next few months, I would say go ahead with the D6 versions, and you know, we'll be having upgrades to D7 for all those six versions later.
And finally, I get the impression that Drupal is kind of making a viral spread through the government and all sorts of institutions and websites, and so it seems like Phase 2 is right there on the cutting edge of helping that happen. So what's sort of the biggest things that you're looking forward to seeing happen over the next couple of years?
definitely looking forward to seeing Drupal like really get into these organizations and solve the problems. I mean, the fact that so many people have been building great sites over the past few years is the reason that now all these organizations think that Drupal could basically solve whatever problem they might have. So we're seeing lots of requests come through for government and big organizations that want to do these Drupal platforms, and we're, you know, obviously love to talk to these people about what their problems are and like solve these big problems we haven't solved before. So like that's where this whole platforms talk is coming from, because just the scale of the problems we're seeing is so new. And it's great though, because like I said, these organizations feel like Drupal could meet their needs no matter what their problem is. So we're pretty happy to be in a good spot right now, especially being in DC, so close to government, to be able to roll out Open Public, which hopefully will serve a lot of their needs, and actually collaborate more with the community, especially the open government community, to build more features on top of Open Public and really start solving problems across organizations.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.